It'll make a difference. And if you don't have the right kind, it'll still make a difference. It'll be the wrong kind of difference. Amen. All right. Our lesson this morning is in the book of Acts. It's about Peter. And it's a good Sunday school lesson. And if you don't have a Sunday school book, you can open up your Bible to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. Good to have Eric Pickett with us here this morning. I was fellowshipping back there with him just a minute ago. Good to have his wife. Good to have his son with us this morning. And we were talking about Bible, the Lord, all kind of stuff. And that's a good thing to do. Amen. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it's good, how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's good to have fellowship. It's even better when you can have unity in that fellowship. Our golden text is taken out of Psalms chapter 34, verse number 7. And that verse says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And this may not be like this with you, but with me, I claim that as a promise from God. I claim that God meant that to me personally. And the Bible tells us all the promises of God in Him, talking about Jesus Christ, are yea and amen. So that's why that's my verse. It can be yours too. Our introduction to our lesson here. In this lesson, it mentioned about James being beheaded by Herod, or Herod the king. And the lesson brought out why did God let James be beheaded and not Peter? And you know, a lot of people charge God foolishly, and they make all kind of propaganda, and they get in all kind of dissimulation, all that stuff. But this lesson will bring a little bit of that out. And the allowable things are the plan of God. And He calls it rain on the just, on the unjust. And God knows what He's doing. Every now and then I'm dumb enough to think I know what I'm doing. And God knows exactly what He's doing. He has a purpose in everything He does. The Bible says He does all things well. And they may not be understood, but He knows what He's doing. The deliverance of Peter from prison are things we can rejoice over. He had an angelic escort. The ease which God delivered him are thoughts that we can dwell upon. And you know, I think about this, and just to throw this in here, when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, they refused to dance to the devil's music, Nebuchadnezzar confronted them, and their answer, I like their answer. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If be so our God, He's able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. I put the word here. It actually says He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But I like the next statement they said. They said, and He will deliver us. That's Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. But let's go ahead and read on verse number 18. They said, but if not, if God chooses not to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace, we will not serve thy gods, O king, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Men, Eric was speaking here earlier. He was telling me some schools, they can't pass out the Bibles now. I mean, you can bring a Koran in there. You can bring a hand grenade, a smoke bomb. You can bring drugs in. You can bring, one guy went there with 2 8-inch knives and cut a bunch of people up. You can bring in, propaganda, but don't bring the Word of God in there. Don't bring the Word of God in there. Well, they can bring it in there. It just causes trouble, but it's the right kind of trouble. I've been in that kind of trouble. So let's get our lesson this morning, Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. At this time, the churches had enjoyed a period of calm. There was no persecution by the Jews because they were too busy trying to meet the demands of the Roman Emperor, Caligula. I can't say some of these names this morning, don't hold it against me. But he had kept them busy defending themselves from his interference with their religion. And Herod had also won favor and got to be king. And to please the Jews, he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and the Jews loved that. Now, Paul told us that the Jews are our enemies, and yet even though they're our enemies, they're his elect. And I was always a little jealous that I wasn't a Jew until I read there in the book of Galatians, and I found out I was a spiritual Jew. I got adopted in, and now I'm part of those chosen people. Now, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "You've not chosen me, I chose you." And that's kind of what it was with me. I wasn't necessarily looking for him, he was looking for me. But to please the Jews, Herod, he's a politician. You know, they're always trying to find out how they can become more popular. He stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, one of the sons of Zebedee, mentioned in this chapter, verse 1 and 2. One brother died early. The other brother was the last living apostle exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and a testimony of Jesus Christ. It's almost like they're two opposites in their lives. It's the work that gets done, not the length of time that you get to do it, that makes a difference. That's what's called success. Some people don't live to be 90. I think I've seen this week some guy 95 years old, something passed away. Some people don't make it that far. Some people start early, get more done in the short time they've got, than others that are older and say, "One of these days I'm going to do this for the glory of God." We just don't know how many days are allotted on our calendar to Him that numbers our days. And He does. He numbered Hezekiah's 15 more years, but He already put an end to it until He had mercy, because Hezekiah wept before Him and asked Him to remember the life he lived before Him, and He added to his days 15 years. But it's not necessarily the length of life that makes the difference. What makes the difference is what you get done in the time you've got to do it. A little Kaylee, she's back there in the Sunday school class. I don't remember the age she was. I know she was really young. But her tear stains, I'd like to get a picture of that if nobody else wouldn't. I'd like to just have a picture of those two tear stains right there of a little girl that knelt down here one day. And I, about as dumb as ever, the preacher knelt down there and said, "Is everything all right?" She looked up there at me and tears flying everywhere. She said, "Brother Eddie, I'm praying to get saved." I said, "You go right ahead there, honey." She didn't just get saved. She come home and told her family she's saved. And she's lived a life for the Lord ever since. I wished I could have got an early start like that. I didn't get saved less 34. But I'll tell you one thing, I want to be busy. I want to be busy for God. And if you're too busy and got time for God, you're too busy about the wrong thing. The work that gets done is where the success is. Some men serve best by their, serve God best by their death. Some men serve God best by their life. But men that have been martyred, their lives made them a city set on a hill seen by ages. Bishop Lattimore was bound to the stake, and another man right beside him, also getting ready to be burned, said to Bishop Ridley, "We shall light such a candle by God's grace in England this day as I trust shall never be put out." And that was their finishing words for the glory of God. No doubt many people never could shake that. Many people thought there must be something to that because look how they died. They died trusting. They died putting all of their confidence in their Redeemer. The crown of success may be in heaven. Down here, men pass out crowns, give honors. I went to college, I didn't pick up my diploma. Graduated, I mean, on the dean's list, A's and B's all the way. Matter of fact, there's almost all A's. They don't really teach anything. I was real disappointed. I was expecting college to be in depth. They just give you just a brief exposure, a little old quiz, a little old test. I was very disappointed. But the crown of success may be placed in heaven. It may be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. But why was James allowed to die, and yet Peter, an angel, was sent to him to deliver him? Jesus had once said to Peter, what I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. He is also saying, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. The Lord's hand was in the postponement of Peter's execution, which afforded opportunity for the fervent prayers of the church to be offered on his behalf. James seems to be taken away before the church could even offer prayers on his behalf, while the doom of Peter was postponed that prayer might be offered for him. Verse 6 of our lesson says, and when Herod would have brought him forth. You see, Herod's in a position of power. Herod thinks he's in control, but he's really not. He just thinks he's in control. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So Peter's got a guard on each side of him. He's got guards on the door, and the likelihood of him escaping is not very good. The prospect troubled not the apostle. He's sleeping pretty good. Chained to two soldiers, sleeping between them, enjoying sweet peace, which only God can give. The Bible said he giveth his beloved rest. And my wife one time, she said, I wish I could sleep like you do. I said, it's easy, honey, just get right with God. It's a package deal. But sweet sleep belongs to those that God gives it to. And Peter's not worried. Man, he's not worried. He's sleeping good. And to him, to die for the Lord's cause was not doom. It was honor. It wasn't dismay to him. And he was told that he would die for Christ. Jesus told him that in John 21, verse 18, 19. But he was told he wouldn't die for Christ until he was old. We probably do a whole lot better in life if we realize what God's will was for us instead of worrying every day. Some people are worry warts. They're like Martha. They're troubled about everything. They're careful. And man, they won't. I mean, everything's got to be just right. And some people, they don't really worry. They trust. They trust in the one that holds their tomorrow. Verse 7 said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. It was about the fourth watch, sometime between 3 and 6 o'clock, that the angel's presence entered the prison chamber. And I want you to know, by divine power, those chains fell off, no key needed. And God can deliver. And God can rescue when the need for that is there. He could have done the same thing for James. He could have intervened. Verse 8, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. There's no evidence of any hurry. He said, you know, take your time, get dressed, get shoes on, getting ready to leave. He wasn't worried about meeting any prisoner guards or soldiers. They're overwhelmed by deep sleep, which fell upon them from God. He's got time to get dressed, got time to put his shoes on. He don't have to run, leave it all behind. Verse 9 says, and he went out and followed him. Now this word, and wish not, that means he's wondering about what's going on. He's trying to say, I don't know if this is real or I'm dreaming it. He wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Every now and then I'll have a dream, and it'll be so real that I'll actually think I'm doing what I'm dreaming. I mean, like running, you know, or whatever. You know, it just seemed like it's right there. And Peter wasn't sure about this. He thought, man, am I dreaming or is this real? And it was astonishing, unexpected, and wonderful. And he didn't know what was going on here. Verse 10 said, when they were past the first and the second ward, or guards, they came unto the iron gate. Now Herod had done everything in his power to keep Peter. There's two doors, guards on each side. Peter's chained to two soldiers. He's sleeping in between them. So as they exit this prison, they come past the first door. They come past the second door. Then they come to the iron gate. It leads under the city. And I didn't know they had automatic doors back then, which opened to them of his own accord. After a while working, we've got doors. You walk up and they open and close. They're airlock doors. But this opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. He doesn't need him no more. He's been rescued. He's been brought out. And without a word, the messenger from heaven, the amazed apostle, passed through the fortress, the guards, and then the great iron gate of the city without any force, without any key. And Peter was delivered miraculously, and God was the one that had done this. Verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, in other words, he realized, hey, this ain't a dream. I'm free. He said, now I know of a surety. Boy, it'd be good this morning if there was somebody here that could know of a surety. You see, we're not supposed to be tossed about with every one of the doctrine. Amen. The Bible said a double-minded man is what, Molly? He don't know where he's going, that way or this way or that way or that way. He's just saying, man, I wish I did have surety. I wish I did. You see that word of God, Romans 10:17 says, now faith come by hearing, by the Daily Times and the Courier Journal paper. That's right. Without that word, our buckler will have no surety. Without that word, it's kind of like opinions. Everybody's got a couple, and like armpits, it stink. But this word, it's a sure foundation. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. The foundation of God stands sure. If it's built on this rock, it'll stand. If it's built on sand, the storms are going to bring it down. They have another landslide. And they said 5,000 people are missing to the point they're just going to make it a burial site. That's the day and hour you and I are living in, but I'm glad, praise God. A lamp to my feet, a light into my path. I hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God. I thank God for the Bible. Peter, he's a little perplexed here. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. What's the Bible say if God be for you? Who can be against you? I'm glad I know in whom I have believed. I'm glad I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It makes a difference who you know. Now some people, they do know people. And they do pretty good. But how's it going to do with the swallowing Jordan? How's it going to do when everything comes to an end? How's it going to do when you're called upon to give an account, stand before God, and be judged? Hallelujah. I'm glad I ain't going to be standing alone. Amen. But everything that Peter saw, it astonished him. Let me say, prayer does not always receive the answer desired. Sometimes the answer is no. Jesus said, not my will, but... Yeah. He said, Father, I would if this cup be delivered from me, but if not, not my will, but thine be. Sometimes God has a different plan than what we're praying. I've prayed several times, and the answer was no. Paul prayed three times about a thorn, and a lot of different descriptions about that thorn, but he prayed to have it removed, and the answer was no. My grace is sufficient for thee. But Paul, he was in prison also. And the church prayed for his release. That's found in Philemon. Philemon verse 22. Paul said, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He said, I wouldn't mind getting out of prison. Keep praying. It wasn't God's will. He went to the chopping block. They said he went out there and hugged that thing and said, glory to God, I've been wanting to get rid of this for a long time. I done been called up and seen what it's going to be like. I'm in a hurry to get home. But some apostles were released, but all weren't. Some were released to their earthly toll to obtain a heavenly rest, and others were released back to the toll, and the heavenly rest was put off. But prayer is a mighty weapon in the hands of someone that knows the Lord. The Bible said the weapons of all warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God that are pulling down the strongholds. It makes a difference, buddy, when one of God's children says, Father, in Jesus' name, I'd like to talk to you a minute. All of heaven stands silent. And God says, son or daughter, speak on. You see, we can boldly come to the throne of grace through Jesus. We have access to God. I talked to a young girl at work this week. Her name was Tracy Matthews. She told me she was having boyfriend problems. And she said she was having problem finding one that knew the Lord. I said, Tracy, won't you pray about that? She said, I have been. You know what I said, Gayla? I said, you know how to pray? And I could tell just as soon as I said that, she didn't really want me to ask that. I said, Tracy, you said you're saved, right? She said, yeah, I am. I said, you know how to pray? She still never said nothing. I said, Tracy, the only way you have access to God is through Jesus Christ. You can't just say, God, you've got to say, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus said, John 14:6, no man comes to the Father but by me. There's one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus. That's how we have access to God. And I've been praying for her. And she's a good godly girl, loves the Lord. She won't find a good godly husband. But prayer is a mighty weapon, not only to the church, but to the child of God. And how unequal Herod or Nero, even with their prisons and their soldiers, persecutions. On the other side, a few weak men and women bowed down in prayer, overthrew these mighty men. Verse 12 says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. This is nighttime. Most good Baptists be asleep. But it shows extraordinary effort given to prayer. Even in the night, they were praying. And they were praying because Peter was going to be put to death the next day. They assembled, and I would to God there was a prayer group like this if I was in trouble. They assembled to pray on his behalf for his release, and they did not intermit. They didn't have intermission. They didn't have snack and video time. They were bowed. Hebrews 13, verse 2, I believe it is, Remember them that are in bonds as being yourselves also in the same body. If that's you in prison and you want somebody to pray for you, that's how you need to pray for someone else. And they were praying like that. They were fervent in prayer. And while life remains, we can pray that God may intervene as He did here in this answer to their prayer. Verse 13, here's Peter. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Is that right? I'm saying that right? And they're praying. She hears a knock and she goes to answer. At a time of prayer, a knock comes to the door. It's in the dead of the night. Who in the world would go answer the door when they're praying for Peter to be released, for him to be able to somehow survive, to be able to live, not die? Verse 14 says, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She was so eager to tell the others that Peter was outside while they were inside praying for him. And the partaker of the joy she felt she wanted them also to partake of. So she forgot to open the door and she ran to this group that are praying for Peter. Verse 15, and they said unto her, thou art mad. They said, you're crazy, Rhoda. You're crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it's his angel. In other words, they said he's done dead, his spirit's here. But when it was announced to them that the object of their prayers was granted, they considered it to be insane. Boy, they had faith, didn't they? Someone said they had a prayer meeting one time for rain, and a little girl brought an umbrella. They said, what'd you bring an umbrella for? She said, I thought it was going to pray for rain. But you know, she showed faith. She believed it was going to rain. She brought her umbrella. Sometimes I think we need to have a little faith. The Bible said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's rewarded them that diligently seek him in the book of Hebrews. Verse 16 says, but Peter continued knocking. He's still outside. He continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. This was no small amazement. God had allowed Stephen to be stoned. God had allowed James to be beheaded. And here they were praying for Peter that his life would be spared. They prayed for him because they loved him. My prayers are often answered in unexpected ways. I could say amen to that and amen. To our astonishment, sometimes God answers them in the best way. And he does not necessarily deny our request. It just he answers it in a different way we thought. Now Naaman, he thought that Elisha would come out and lay hands on him and call upon God and recover him from his leprosy. And Elijah sent a servant out there and said, go tell him dip 7 times in Jordan. And he was insulted. He was mad. How dare him? Are not the rivers of Damascus and wherever that other place was, are they not better than the stream of Jordan? But you know what? When he done that, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Sometimes God answers differently. But we with our narrow vision cannot necessarily tell what's the best answer to our prayer, whether it be by life or early heavenly crown, whether by victory or defeat that brings larger victory, whether Paul's thorn be removed or grace be given to bear it. And our last verse of our lesson here, verse 17, talk about Peter. But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. His desire was that they should know what had just happened, how God had answered their prayer, and it was sufficient to all their soul. And notice it mentioned he departed. By the way, he lived many years after Herod, and me and a Eric mentioned this morning about the book of Josephus. And in the book of Josephus, it tells how Herod died. Now, your King James Bible tells you that Herod was eaten up of worms. But Josephus tells you how detailed it was to be eaten up of worms. I mean, the servants were slipping and falling because of so much blood. Because a man refused to give God glory. Made a speech. They said it's the speech of a God, not a man. And since he didn't give God glory, an angel from God smote him with worms that he died. That's sufficient. But I'll tell you, it was an agonizing, long, suffering death that Herod died. But Peter lived on. Herod demanded that the keepers be executed. I mean, how dare them let him escape? Who can keep God from delivering? The escape was intervention of God. The death of Herod took place that month. That's a good lesson. I hope you don't end up in prison. But if you do, Jesus, he was in prison. Yeah. I know better than him. He's beaten. I ain't no better than him. They smote him on the mouth. I ain't no better than him. They spit on him. I ain't no better than him. Every now and then we think, you know, Lord, why would you allow somebody to spit on me? Why would you allow someone to curse me? Why would you allow someone to make me feel uncomfortable? Let's take a look at Jesus. Might help you. All right, we'll stop our Sunday school lesson right there. And like I said, good to have Brother Eric here with us this morning. He'll be preaching today.